So let us, once we have our seats, let us turn to, in our hymnals, to hymn number 268, Christ Has Made the Sure Foundation.
What's the number again? 268.
268. Christ has made the sure. Christ, the head and cornerstone, chosen of the Lord and precious, binding all the church in one. Holy Zion, held forever, and her confidence alone. All that dedicated city, dearly loved of God on high, in exultant jubilation, pours perpetual melody. God, the one in three and glory, in glad hymns eternal.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together to have this meal together, and now to review the last year that we've had as a church. We pray that you would bless our time of remembering the ways that you have blessed us, and we pray for your continued blessing in the days ahead, and for your guidance upon this body of believers, and we pray that we would be honoring and glorifying to you in all that we say and do, and would be a great blessing one to another. We thank you for your care and your provision for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, for the deacon's report, I just have a few items here to mention. As you're very likely aware, the deacons meet together on the third Saturday each month for prayer and to discuss the needs of the church. And just a few of the ministries of the church. First of all, we have the tape ministry, or actually they're now CDs. And so the CDs that are duplicated have been diminishing over the years. In 2018, we had 464 CDs made. In 2019, it was 324. 2020 was 152. And this last year for 2021 was 130. So the requests on CDs has continued to drop, and I think one contributing factor to that decline has been the increased use of our website. The traffic increases year by year, but meaningful statistics are rather difficult to get due to the number of hits by bots and spiders that are crawling the web. So 2021 didn't see as much growth compared to the previous year where we spent more time remotely. So I think that probably offset the reduced increase, so if that makes sense. On our YouTube channel, which is now kind of a newer addition, the averaging out the views since we started streaming in June of 2020, we have about 46 video views per week. And assuming that we have three messages per week, that comes out to an average of 15 views per video. Comparing that with the Bible Institute's class that just finished this last May, this last year, or actually the last 2 years, there were 66 lessons total, 31 and 35 for the most recent year. And so the average view count on that one comes out to 71 views per lesson. And none of the counts that I'm mentioning are for the count of live streams, but it's just the average views of each of the videos after the fact. So that's been just a useful metric I found in looking over things before this report. In producing the video streams for each of the service, I'm very thankful for the willingness of Joseph, Annalise, and Austin to help out each week in filling in there, especially since I'm not always able to be back there. Also, security of the building while our people are here is a high priority, and we want to remain vigilant to our surroundings, especially in light of the threats and attacks in other portions of our country in recent months. And so that is an ongoing concern that we're trying to be proactive about. In the last year, here's some of the more major things that the deacons have addressed. There's been the legal and account name changes that we've needed to take care of. And then we've tried to become more organized in like tracking the keys and who has what keys and documenting our procedures. That's still kind of a work in progress, but just so that everybody kind of knows, all the deacons know what each other are doing. We got a new vehicle for Pastor Will, and or at least are paying for the increased auto payment for that. And so that's a way that we've been able to minister, especially for Pastor Will. Also, this last year, I worked on renewing and reestablishing our lease agreement with Hank and Ruth, our landlords, and so that it's useful to have all of our I's dotted and T's crossed to make sure we're on top of everything. A few weeks ago, replaced the double-sided sign by 148th and had a new one installed by the main entrance, so that's been taken care of. This spring, we rotated out our hymnals and from the stock of new hymnals that we've had. And so on the back table over there next to the library, as you enter the auditorium, we have some of the old hymnals, and encourage you to take one for your own use at home to aid in your time of worshiping the Lord there. And so we do have more than what are available there. We just didn't want to keep the table piled with all the hymnals. So please do take one. They're not just for show there. So the deacons are Ron Carter, Ken Perolis, Brad Ray, and myself. And also David Nielsen and Frank Parks continue to serve in many areas of the church as well, preparing for the services, taking turns doing the weekly cleaning, along with the deacons, for which I'm very grateful. This last year, we also had a change in treasurer, and so Steve Nagai agreed to be the treasurer beginning in August of 2021, and so at this time, he will come and bring the treasurer report. Thanks.
Thank you. David, you're so tall. How many people think I can get through this without making a bad joke? Okay, I appreciate your support back there. And with that, I just want to admit that even though I am treasurer, the brains behind this operation is sitting back there, David. So I didn't want to confess that. The second thing is, did everyone grab a financial statement? So I do have a question regarding that. How many of you guys took accounting in college? How many of you liked accounting? Oh, Joe. Very good. So I do want to talk about the balance sheet, because I think it's an overlooked piece of the financials. I think everyone wants to look at the income statement immediately, but I think the balance sheet gives a really good summary and a really good quick view of the financial status of the church. And so my third question is, assets equal liabilities plus equity. Okay, so the math there is, if you have assets, you subtract your liability, that is your equity, and equity is your net worth. Okay, so individually, you guys own a house, you may own a mortgage on it, but a net of that is really the equity you have in your house and your net worth position. So I think you'll notice on the balance sheet that in comparison with December 31st, the year 2020 to the year 2021, the net equity position of the church increased $24,735.07. And that's a good thing. Okay? That means that our net worth is increasing year over year. Now, if you want to go to the income statement, and I know no one really does, but just humor me. You'll see the reason that our equity position increased by 24,000, and that is in the bottom of the column 2021, January through December 2021, again, the first column. And you look at the bottom, and there it is, the 24,735.07. Okay. I think one nice thing that David does is he shows a comparison year over year, so you can see the changes. And you'll note that one thing you'll note, and David pointed this out, is look at the interest on savings of the very small $531. And I want to tell you, most of you know I work at U.S. Bank, and we bank some of the largest global companies in the world, including Microsoft, Amazon, Target, Hearst, off the top of my head. So those are some of the customers we bank, and they bank. They carry billions of dollars with us, and we've been paying them under 10 basis points annually. So that just shows you what the rate environment has been. And actually, up until mid-2021, we're probably paying them 5 basis points. So what a basis point is, it's 1/100 of a percent. Okay, so 10 basis points is 0.1 is a, yeah, 0.1%. And that's what we've been paying our largest customers at U.S. Bank. And just recently, as the Fed's been raising rates, we've gone up maybe to 30, 35 bips. Okay, so not a lot. And these companies continue to carry balances with us. The business line I support, we have over $100 billion in deposits. And a lot of it is comprised of these corporations that are we're paying minuscule dollar amounts to. But I think the note here is that we're not out of line of what most companies are being paid. The good news is, if you've been paying attention to the Fed and inflation, of course, you'll note that the Fed's made several rate increases. We're projecting them to go another at least 125 basis points to the end of the year. And so with that, the interest we get paid should increase, and so we should start catching up a little bit on that number. So I think David projected, what, 6,500 toward the end of this year, 2022. The other thing I want you to note is that our expenses increased year over year. And again, that was largely due to the resumption of the family camp, which you'll see on there. I think it was like maybe 15,000, 14,000 or so in there. And so that really explains the increase in the expense. The really good news, though, is that two things is that your deacons and your leadership, your elders, are really good stewards of the Lord's money. And I really wanted to emphasize that. Everything they do is well thought out. And they don't spend unwisely. I was going to call them cheap, but I think that was a low blow. So let's call it good stewardship. The other thing is the Lord continues to provide. And, it's hard to talk about the Lord's provision in terms of finances and money, but He does provide, and He provides for our needs. And so I think the Lord has been really faithful in providing for this ministry. So with that, I really don't have... one thing you may want to note, too, is David on the side, on the far right column, he shows the percentage of all the numbers as a percent of income. And you'll note where the church spends its money. And one thing you'll note is that the missionary support is almost 12% there. And then really the rest of it is simply payroll and rent. So if you're interested in those percentages, those are there as well. But that's really all I had to say. And just really be thankful to the Lord for His gracious and generous provision to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, David. All right. Before Pastor Will comes, I wanted to provide a brief summary of the last year. And by last year, I mean since we last met for annual meeting in June of 21. So there's two things I want to focus on, is highlight some of the blessings of this past year, and then provide a very quick summary of the ministry of the church. The New Testament is replete with exhortations to give thanks to the Lord, as Stephen just noted. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. And similarly in Ephesians 5, Paul exhorts the believers to be imitators of God. And in verse 4, in contrasting things to turn from, Paul says, rather giving thanks. And lastly, in cataloging the sinfulness of those with depraved minds, Paul chides them for their lack of thanks. And he says in Romans 1:21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. So thanksgiving is obviously very, very important, very central to the teaching in the New Testament. And this is not a long or exhaustive list, but some of the things for which we can give great thanksgiving to the Lord this past year. And again, I my reference point is June, so I don't you always think about making a list and think I'm gonna miss something. But anyways, so we added to our number with the birth of Henry Edward Charles Spafford, Ethan Leon Ortiz, and Garrett Clark Henderson, and then Emmett James Spafford were all additions this past year. And then looking forward, and these are, I guess you'd call them pre-additions, we're anticipating the addition, with the anticipated birth of baby Keysweather, baby Hoover, baby Roe, and baby Wearson. So, of course, Kayleen and James will be long gone by that time, but we can still count them as a blessing. And we continued to bring back in-person services that had ceased since the beginning of COVID. Second Friday Bible study, the evening service starting in the first of this year. A ladies Bible study, although we were doing it remotely, it's largely in person. A family camp, as Stephen noted. A spring Bible conference, and gave us an opportunity to renew our friendship with the Felixes. Fifth Sunday. And then the Christmas service with Hillcrest. And then some other wonderful additions to our ministry that I think we need to give thanks to the Lord for. I think Pastor Tim Copper has been a great blessing to our ministry, and certainly a great encouragement to Will and I, and I know to many of you. Hymn sings and fellowship with the Hillcrest Bible Church. There's been two of them, and so those have been a real blessing. And then if you haven't been in preschool in a while, on a given week, we have about 5 to 6 children in there. It's quite amazing. So, and shifting to ministry of the word, in the morning service, Pastor Will continued his studies in the book of Romans, which he continues to the present day. And save a 3-week series on the book of Philemon. Obviously, we'll take a brief sabbatical this summer as we focus on the doctrine of the church. And then in the evening service, Pastor Will has continued his series on God's faithfulness, focused on his God's faithfulness to Isaac and to Jacob from the book of Genesis. Tim Copper is also interspersed on roughly a monthly basis in a series of messages around Christian living, and which have been a real blessing. And then Sunday school, last summer we studied the triune God in his written word. And then in the fall, study on the book of Psalms, first time through the Psalms, which was it's a real blessing. And then this past spring, First and Second Corinthians, which we just wrapped up a couple weeks ago. So that's it, Pastor Will.
All right. Thanks, David, and thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Kelly. And a good opportunity just to say thank you, probably from everybody, just for the people who serve in leadership. There's kind of a focus on them tonight. And so the deacons and the elders, the treasurer, work hard and do a lot of things that don't get a thank you all the time, but we're thankful for that and thankful for the work that they do unto the Lord. Thankful for everybody who brought food tonight. It was wonderful, and thanks for being here, too. I'm glad you all are a good turnout for tonight. So so far we've been focused. It's kind of a retrospective looking at the past, and I knew it would be. So you have to switch gears in your mind, because I would like to talk a little bit about the future. And I've organized my thoughts into long range, mid range, and short range. So which would you like to hear first? I better go with the order that it is in my notes. How's that? So long range, and I put a number on these at the end, so 20 years, you know, just throw out a number. But long range, if the Lord tarries, we want to help train up, help send out missionaries. The mission is to Jerusalem, to receive power from the Holy Spirit, to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So we want to be involved in that work. Future pastors would be wonderful for that. But the main thing is a future generation of people to stand for Christ in that time. And some of them, not all of them, but some of them to stand in this place and in this city, if the Lord tarries. Mid-range, and I thought I put a number on this, like a year and a half, or maybe a little shorter than that. We need to add new leaders. We need to add new leaders. Elders, yes, we need to add new elders, bring some along. Deacons, maybe not so urgent, but probably some new deacons as well. So joining in the church leadership is a process. It's not just something that should happen overnight. So we want to kind of move toward that, start moving toward that, and probably hear more in the future about opportunities. We might call it leadership training, but an opportunity to get together some of the men that are interested in leadership. I showed Kelly and Dr. Matt tonight already some booklets for that purpose, and hopefully before you leave, Jim, I can show it to you as well. But that might allow for leaders to emerge through some of that, join in, and fit in both with the other leaders and also with the church that you're going to be involved in leading. So especially for the men, to encourage you in that direction. And then short range, and the time here would be the next 3 months by fall, to have something in place that would allow for coordination in the work of evangelism, allow for working together in the work of evangelism, of being a witness here in Portland, and not just informally of, you know, maybe calling someone and doing that, but officially as a church to be involved in coordinating. So the idea right now focuses, and I'm speaking for the other elders as well, would focus on our Wednesday night service, which has had a lot of changes. So the idea would be in fall to have something set up, meeting in homes, having a place in neighborhoods, around here. It'd still be Bible study and prayer. I mean, that's what we do at Trinity, so it would be that. But perhaps with a tie-in each night, there would be a gospel call. So you know that if you invite somebody to the study in your neighborhood, that they're going to for sure hear a gospel message, to come to the Bible study and meet people who love the Lord, and who can help them to understand the gospel. So I'd like to have as many as we can of these Bible studies, or at least one or two, but it could, as many as possible would be great. And the idea also would be for Wednesday night, you can have a shorter drive if there's a Bible study meeting in your neighborhood as well. So that's the idea. The goal is really not that necessarily. I mean, that's kind of the idea moving forward. But the goal is to have a way of collaborating together in ministry, sort of officially. If that idea is not a good fit, then we should try something else. But I think it would be good to give that a try. So steps towards setting that up. We'll probably call a men's meeting in July, probably maybe a Sunday afternoon, and talk it over with some of the men. And then a second meeting after that, before family camp, that will be an all members meeting to discuss how to move forward with that plan. Also, you know, it would not necessarily be intended to be permanent. So it might be good to have an end date for this outreach that we're putting in place, or at least a reevaluation date at the end of it as well. So the task of evangelism, the task of the Great Commission as a church, is to be done alone, and you kind of can't help. That's the way it ought to be, that you are, you're going to be doing it like one-on-one often. And scripture has accounts of that, of evangelism in that way. But it's not to be done without help from others. It's not to be done without, collaboration, and certainly not all of it done without help, from others, and maybe not even, most of it, done, alone. And I think when I'm talking about collaboration tonight, I specifically mean not just two Christians teaming up and laboring together, although that is wonderful too, but I specifically mean connected to a church, And, so a church is where the gifts are operating, and the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is for us as a church to work together as a whole. And He equips us with different, ways of doing that that complement each other for the performing of tasks of edification and also of evangelism as well. So someone might be gifted in meeting others, inviting them to come. Others might be more gifted in clearly articulating the gospel, and those can work together as a team for the good of the outreach of the gospel. So collaborating together in a way that touches the church as a church, and touches the leadership responsibility of the elders that God has given us the task of overseeing for the church. Evangelism that's connected to the church in that way just has a lot of advantages. It has all that advantage. If somebody gets saved that way, they're ready to be baptized, and they know what church they're going to be baptized at, and they know what church they can go to, because it's the one that has helped to bring them the gospel. Also, the church working together touches the promise that we have: I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So that's what God is building in the world. It doesn't even say I will build informal groups of believers and the gates of hell. No, it's I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So there's a power operating in the church. A resurrection power is what it's called in scripture. And it ought to be applied, I think, to our most difficult task, which is an important task too, which is the task of the Great Commission. And you see that in the life of the Apostle Paul and the ministry of Apostle Paul. He didn't minister alone. He ministered with Tychicus and Philemon, and Silas, Barnabas, Mark, Luke, Demas for a time, Epaphroditus, Epaphras, Timothy, Titus, Priscilla, and Aquila. And instead of turning you to all the passages that were, Paul talks about how important it is for him to be doing ministry with these fellow workers, with these fellow soldiers, I'll just, the exception kind of proves the rule. And there was one time in Acts when Paul was kind of unexpectedly alone. Remember what it was? He was in Athens. And he got sent ahead of some of his companions, and he did evangelize there, but it sounds like it was sort of unplanned, almost out of character for him. Remember, the reason he did it was because his spirit just got stirred up kind of spontaneously because he saw these idols that were in Athens. And so I think he did something that he didn't normally do, and that is give the gospel alone, apart from those others. That's Acts chapter 17. It says, those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens and received a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible. They left. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogues with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. So that was unusual for the Apostle Paul, enough that Acts kind of makes a note of it, that it was an unusual way for Paul to minister. It was kind of an extra to the way that he normally ministered, which was with others. And I think importantly, Paul ministered not just with other believers, but also connected to a church, a local church. Do you remember which one? Which town this church was in? Because he traveled far and wide. He traveled everywhere. Who said it? Ephesus? No, that's wrong. Sorry. That's a good guess. Good guess. Ephesus was really important to him, and it was his place of ministry for a really long time. The church that sent him out was Antioch. The church that sent him out always for all of his missionary journeys was Antioch. It was a great church. It was a place where believers were first called Christians, and where Jews and Gentiles, that's why they had to call them Christians, because so many Gentiles were being saved. They couldn't just say, the Jews are doing something new over there, but it was something new. They had to have a new name for, and it was at Antioch. I'm reminded, just because of some studies of the town's name, it's for that line of kings, came after Alexander, and they're all named Antiochus, and they're a type of the Antichrist, especially one of them who was named Antiochus. But that's what the town was named after, so it's kind of a throne of Satan. But that's the place where the first Christians were called, and also the place that has been a light to the world by sending out the Apostle Paul. But Paul wouldn't go, I've told you, he wouldn't go without others, co-ministers, but also without the local church officially sending him. He wouldn't go without it. He waited for it. So Acts chapter 13, let me have you turn there. Acts chapter 13, I'll just read the first four verses. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, there was a church there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. That's the first missionary journey. And there's a church in Antioch, and there's gifts in the church, and there's the ones that are operating at that time, prophets and teachers. And so Paul goes out sent by a church. And then the Acts says, the writer of Acts says he's sent by the Holy Spirit because of that. And so sent in that way. So Paul's sent by a local church. A send out of Paul by a church, which is what we just looked at, or what I've been talking about for our near-term future, perhaps a new structure for our Wednesday night service. Those things, they're outward. Sending by a church, setting up a new way to do Wednesday night. They can't be a substitute for unity, or holiness, or love, or reverence for God, or right doctrine, or zeal, or fervent prayer, or courage, or joy. You know, these, without those things getting sent out by a church, or jumping into a new way of doing Wednesday night in neighborhoods is really a nothing. It's a nothing. So the structure that we're sort of planning is at best a sort of a trellis for the life to grow on. And so it can't be a substitute for those things that the Holy Spirit produces. But it can be a help. It can be a help. It can be, and I hope it will be in the future, in the near future, a help for the power of the power of the Holy Spirit in the church to be brought to bear on the issue of evangelism. So with that in mind, we can think about our city where we live. If we felt distant from our city in the past, and I think as Christians we ought to in some way feel distant from our city where we live, Portland, Vancouver area. In these past years, that distance has increased. You know, we feel even more out of place and distant in this city in all the changes that have happened. So if you seem to yourself to be an unlikely candidate to carry the gospel to Portland, like me, I feel that way. You might say, why me? Why am I a member of a gospel preaching church here in this city at this time? Why has God put me in that spot? Or is that an impossible task? So impossible that it shouldn't even be attempted to be a faithful gospel witness in this city. You might remember, it's not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble that God has called. He chooses the foolish things of this world, the things that are nothing, the things that are not, to put to shame the things that are. And that seemed to be something. You might remember these troubled times that have been difficult for us and have been difficult for us, where Satan seems to be having a field day to steal and kill and to destroy. That's what he does. But you might remember in some ways how much more that is for our neighbors who don't have Christ in it. They don't have the sovereignty of God to rely on. In fact, the things that are crumbling all around us are the things that they trust in. And they have nowhere else to turn to except for despair. And so perhaps we may find that the fields are white for harvest, for the harvest that the Lord has before us. You might remember also that gospel witness is to be accomplished one step at a time. It's not in a gigantic leap forward, but one step at a time. Understanding that you're in a war, in a battle, and battles take place over time. They take place as a process. They bog down sometimes. But the war continues, and it's a war in which there's no neutrality. And the fault line is Christ. And so we have to decide which side that we're going to be on and take part in the next thing in this battle. You might remember you have power of the Holy Spirit. You have the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in the church to support you. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. That's Martin Luther's. That's part of Martin Luther's hymn. You have fellow soldiers on your side. You have the truth on your side, and that counts for a lot. You have good news to tell. You have the promise of God. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you have, most importantly, the Lord himself, who says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your gospel. We thank you for saving us and then amazingly making us emissaries and ambassadors and heralds of your truth. We pray that you would help us, that you'd invigorate us or reinvigorate us for this task. Pray that we might link arms with one another as we do this as well, and that you might enable us for the day ahead of us, this day, and each day, that you might walk with us and lead the church step by step to the completion of the mission which you've ordained for the church and which you're leading us towards. We pray that we might walk with you, that we might walk with the Holy Spirit. Pray that you give us joy in this and courage for the task. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let us turn in our hymnals now to hymn number 372. Let's stand together.
Father, we thank you for bringing us together tonight. We thank you, Father, that for the love you've given us for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for one another. And it's Him in whom we serve. It's Him in whom we delight. And it's in Him whom we desire to follow. We pray that you help us to set our affections on the things above and not on the things of this earth. And we pray that you help us to grow in our desire to reach the lost and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and add to our number as you see fit and as the Spirit works to draw those whom you've elected to yourself through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. Thank you again for the time we've had together tonight. It's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. All right, dismissed.